Today's shir is Lili Nishmas of Yehuda Leiber of Shmuel. Today's shir is Masechta Megillah Daf Chaf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph on the top line of the Amud. We learned in the Mishnah B'Yontif Chamisha. On Yontif, we call up five people for Aliyahs. B'Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, we call up six people. Shisha, on Shabbos, we call up seven people. And we learned in the Mishnah, in Parchas Mehen, never less than that number. Avo Masifim Lehem, we could add to that number. Begins the Gemara, Masni Samani. Who is the town of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. It seems not to be consistent, neither with the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, nor with Rabbi Kiva. The Tananya, the Brice is B'yont of Chamisha. On Yontav, we call up five people to the Sefer Torah, B'yom Kippur, M'shisha, or B'Shabbos Shiva. Ein Parchs Mehem, Ve'em Masifim Lehem, the Rabbi Shmuel. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we can never add more than that. And we just quoted our Mishnah that says, you can add to the people who get Aliyahs on Shabbos. Rekiv Aymer, B'yont of Chamisha, on Yont we call up five people, Yom Kippurim Shiva, Yom Kippur we call up seven people, or B'Shabbos Shisha, and on Shabbos we call up six people. Ein Parchs Mehen, we can't call up less than that number, but we could call up more than that number. So ask the Marmani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Ir Rabbi Shmuel. If we're going to say that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, Kasha Tosefes, as we pointed out, our Mishnah says we can add, and Rabbi Shmuel says we can never add to that number. And Ir Rabbi Kiva, if we're going to want to say that it represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, Kasha Shisha V'Shiva. And our Mishnah says that on Yom Kippur we have six people, and on Shabbos, seven people. And Rabbi Kiva says just the opposite. And what is the reason for Rabbi Kiva that has more people getting Aliyahs on Yom Kippur than on Shabbos? So the Rosh Yosef explains that on Shabbos, there's a mitzvah onik Shabbos. And therefore, since there's a mitzvah onik Shabbos, we wanted to add the amount of people who are getting Aliyahs on Shabbos, but we don't want to add just one more than the amount they get on Yontif, so they should have time to be able to have an onik Shabbos. Whereas on Yom Kippur, where we don't eat and drink, we could spend the entire day in shul. And that's why Rabbi Kiva says on Yom Kippur, we have seven people that getting Aliyahs. Another explanation is that Yom Kippur, we know, is a Yom Kapar of Aslicha. And the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yomei Shmoneseinu Behem Shim Shana, that a person in those days' average life was 70 years. So for every 10 years of one's life, we have an Aliyah. Another pshat, very consistent what we discussed in our previous year. In our previous year, the Gemara established that the Aliyahs, or the additional Aliyahs that are given on any specific day, are really connected to the Tosfos. The more we add to that day, the more we should have extra Aliyahs on that day. And in Yom Kippur, we also have an extra tefillah. We have tefillah snila. And therefore, suggests the Tori Evan, because we have that extra tefillah, it makes sense we should have one more Aliyah on Yom Kippur, even more than Shabbos. Amar Rava. So back to the question, who was the Tan of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Tanah d'Rabbi Shmuel hi. The Brice is following the Tanah d'Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanah d'Rabbi Shmuel, he explains, B'yontav Chamisha, on Yontav we have five Aliyahs, B'yom Kippurim Shisha, on Yom Kippur six Aliyahs, B'Shabbos Shiva, on Shabbos we have seven Aliyahs, Ein Peichs Mehem, we don't have less, Av Masifin Aleyem, D'Rabbi Shmuel. But ask the Gemara, Kasha Rabbi Shmuel the Shmuel. Now we have a stira, a contradiction in the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. In the first opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, we said that Rabbi Shmuel says you never add a Torah Aliyahs on Shabbos, Yontav, Yom Kippur. And here he says you may. Answers the Gemara, Trei Tanoi, I leave it to Rabbi Shmuel. There's a machloikus Tanoim. What is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion? Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Man Tana Lohad Tanya, who's the Tana of the following Braisa? It says in the Braisa, B'yontav, Machman Lavoi, on Yontav, we come to shul late, u'mamaharin lotzeis, and we leave shul early. And in Sech, the side from the reason is given, we come late, because on Yontav we know Eichon Nefesh may be performed on Yontav. So Yontav in the morning, people get up to and before they come to shul, they prepare the food for the meal, so they're only able to get to shul later. Although the halacha is that on Yom Tov we come to shul later, there are certain Yom Tovim that everybody agrees that we do not come late to shul on those Yom Tovim. They are Rosh Hashanah, because we're anxious to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of Tekiyah Shofar, Sukkos, in order to fulfill the mitzvah d'alaminim, and Shmini Atzeres, specifically in Eretz Yisrael, where Shmini Atzeres is a very long davening. It's the day when they say Geshem, and they also have Kofis, and we also have Zayis HaBracha, where everybody gets an Aliyah. So even though the Gemara just said that on Yom Tov we come to shul late, that is not those Yom Tovim are an exception. So the Pri Chodesh asks that why do we just say that we daven late on Yom Tov? Because we have to prepare the meal. Isn't there a halacha that we're not allowed to do any work before we daven in the morning? So he answers, preparing the Yom Tov meal is considered a mitzvah. And therefore, since it's considered doing a mitzvah, it may be performed before going to shul on Yom Tov. And we leave the shul quickly in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov and eating in a meal. And the Magen Avraham, based on this Gemara in Simen Tuf Chof Tes Sifkot and Zayin, says Yesh Ligar Bechazonim Hamarichim Betfil Alachatzois. One should protest the Chazonim who spend a lot of time and schlep out the davening, because here we're learning on Yom Tov was supposed to daven earlier. B'Yom Kippurim, or Shabbos, when we speak about Shabbos, that's Yom Tov. The Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, the Maharim Lovoi, we come early to daven. There's no reason not to come early to davening because there's no meals that are being prepared. Maharim Lot says, again, there's no meal to go to, it's Yom Kippur. Or Shabbos, where we can't do Oichel Nefesh. So since we can't do Oichel Nefesh, Maharim Lovoi, we come to daven early, but Maharim Lot says, in order to fulfill Oynik Shabbos. So Rashi explains, why do we come daven early on Shabbos? Because Rashi says that on Shabbos, to daven, it's appropriate to daven Vesikin. And as the Gemara Masech, the Brachas, Daf Tes, Oman Aleph explains, the Vesikin would make sure to say Krishma before the Netzachama, and then daven Shmanesri with the Netz. So since there's a point to try to daven at that time on Shabbos by Vesikin, we come early to shul. Drama, however, in Simon Reish Pei Aleph, Sif Aleph, quotes the Mordechai, that on Shabbos, actually, we come to shul later than we do all week long. Because, he explains, that by Karban HaTamid, that's brought every morning, the Pasuk uses the word Baboiker. It should be brought right in the morning. Whereas the Karbanos Musaf that are brought on Shabbos, the Pasuk says they should be brought Ubiyoyim HaShabbos. B'yoyim means during the day, not early in the morning. So the question is, here Rashi seems to say that even on Shabbos, one should daven early. And the Ramah is saying that on Shabbos we daven late. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains that doesn't mean that on Shabbos we come to daven early. What the Gemara means to say is that we daven in shul earlier on Shabbos than we do on Yom Tov. Because on Yom Tov we need to prepare the meal. We have the Oichel Nefesh that we prepare the meal. But on Shabbos, we don't have the right to do that. And that's why on Shabbos, we come to shul earlier than Yom Tov, but not necessarily that we come early to shul on Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, this Brisa says, that in Yom Kippur, we leave shul late. And in Shabbos, we leave earlier. So we see that Yom Kippur has a longer davening. So lame Rabbi Kiva. So shouldn't we say that this Brisa represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, this like Gavri Yisera, that has more people getting an Aliyah on Yom Kippur? And it will be understandable, because as we're learning now, the Yom Kippur davening is longer than the Shabbos davening. Says the Gemara, no. I feel time Rabbi Shmuel. It could even follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that has more Aliyahs on Shabbos than Yom Kippur. So if there's more Aliyahs on Shabbos than Yom Kippur, So why is the Yom Kippur davening longer? Because even though we don't have as many aliyahs, but nafesh the sudur the yama, the davening on Yom Kippur takes longer because we say, as we said, nila, and we add many tefillahs that we don't say on a normal Shabbos. So many Rishonim, Tosfos asks, how could we suggest, what was the Gemara's Havmina, that just because there's one more aliyah, the davening should take longer? And particularly, if we think about it, Yom Kippur, even if we'll have more aliyahs, the laning is not such a long laning. Whereas on Shabbos, we read the Parshas HaShavua. And the Parshas HaShavua could be a long Parsha. So it's not really only dependent on how many people we have getting an aliyah. So how can we say just that the length of the davening is dependent on the aliyah? So the reason they explain that Gemara assumed that it's following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva is because they assumed that the Gemara was going in consecutive order. And this Braisa had Yontif, then Yom Kippur, and Shabbos. That should be an indication that Shabbos has more aliyahs than Yom Kippur. So we know that whenever we have aliyahs during the week, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos afternoon by Mincha, Shloisha, three people are called up. On Yontif Chamisha, on Shabbos Shiva, ask the Gemara, Keneged, what's that corresponding to? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechzor ben Nachmeni v'chadi imei, Rav Shimon ben Pazi, who was that person that was his colleague, Rav Shimon ben Pazi? V'amalei Rav Shimon ben Pazi v'chadi imei, umanu Rabbi Yechzor ben Nachmeni, v'amalei Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, chad omar, Keneged, Birkus Kahanim. The three aliyahs are corresponding to the Birkus Kahanim, or as Rashi explains, in the brachas of Birkus Kahanim, we have 3, 5, 7. The first bracha has 3 words, the second bracha has 5 words, and the third bracha has 7 words. V'chad Amra, Shloime, Keneged Shloime Saf, there were 3 people that stood by the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, Chamisha Barai Pnei HaMelech, there are 5 people that are always attending the king, and Shiva, Raya Pnei Melech, 7 people who are the king's close associates that we have. So where do we find these people? By Achashverosh. So Tosfos asks, do we learn the halacha of getting aliyahs from Achashverosh? Is that the person whom we want to learn? And that's why Rabbi Tam explains, it's speaking not about the people who were attending the Malkei Umas Olam, but it's speaking about the people who are the Sarei Yisrael. The Beis Yosef says that the reason we have 7 people getting aliyahs on Shabbos corresponding to the 7 days of the week. And to teach us that on Shabbos the person is declaring that if I missed learning during the week any day, I'm making it up on Shabbos. Tani and ask the Pnei Yeshua, but the Gemara doesn't say that. So how does the Beis Yosef give that explanation? So says the Pnei Yeshua, the Gemara wanted to be consistent with the amount of people who are attending the king. So that's why the Gemara gave that explanation. But that isn't the real explanation. The real explanation is like the Beis Yosef gave. Tanav Yosef, Shlosh Chamish V'Shiva, Shlosh Shamri Asaf, Chamish Shemaray Pnei Melech, Shiva Roy Pnei Melech. Amal Abaya, Ad Ha'idna. So Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, Ad idna, my tamale parish leman. Why did you not tell us until today this explanation about the people, about the amount of people and why they get those aliyahs on the different days? Amale, lo have you done the tzrichas lei? I wasn't aware that you needed to be taught this. I thought you already knew it yourself. Me, do you ever ask me a question and I don't try to give you? I always try to give you the explanation. I didn't give you the explanation here because I was certain you knew it already. And Tosfos says that the word should not be Yaakov Minoah. Minoah means he was a min. He was an apikoros. And we don't quote apikorosim in the Gemara. But the Yavit says that we could keep the Girsah. And Minoah was the name of a place. And he was called Yaakov Minoah because he came from the city of Minoah. Hanishish the Yom Kippurim. We call up six people for Aliyas on Yom Kippur. Keneged me. What do they correspond? Amalei, keneged shish am the mimina shel Ezra. Those six people standing to the right of Ezra. The shishim smiley, and six who stood to his left as Klai Yisrael came out of the Golos. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'yamin Ezra soif amigdal eitz, as she'oslo ledover, v'yamda etzloi, they all stood to his right. But ask the Gemara, if we count the people that stood to the left of Ezra, there were seven people. So why are we saying it's six? Answers the Gemara, Hainu Zechariah, Hainu Meshulam. Zechariah and Meshulam were one and the same individual. V'maykar Meshulam, why was he called Meshulam? The Meshulam Be'ovdei. He was a tzaddik, he was complete in all of his action. Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara, Hakol Oilel Minyan Shiva. Everybody could be included for the seven people that we have to have in Aliyah. Afilu Katan, even a Katan who isn't yet Bar Mitzvah, Afilu Isha. Avam Chachamim, Chazal said, Isha Loi Tikra B'Torah, a woman should not get an aliyah, make kvod tzibur. It's not kvod tzibur that a woman should read the Torah. Says the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim Simon Reish Pei Bei Sif Gimel, that the cotton that we allow to get an aliyah is only a cotton that is able to appreciate, understand what it means, an aliyah, and understand what it means to get, to make the bracha on Aliyah. Moreover, the Magen Avraham there in Sifkaten Vav says that until a boy is bar mitzvah, he should not read from the Sefer Torah. So Agamar says that the cotton could be called up to an Aliyah. So there's a Vachlaikis Rishonim. What does that mean? Does it mean only on Shabbos, whereas we've been learning there are seven people called up to the Torah, or even during the week, or Yontif, when there are only five or three people that are called up, we could call up a cotton. Many Rishonim, the Mordechai, the Miri, say the Gemara doesn't make any such distinction, so it means that any amount of people, the cotton could be called up whenever we read. However, the Miri does point out that we should at least always have one gadol being amongst the people who gets the Aliyah. Because he explains, as we discussed when we started these sugyas of Kriya Sefer Torah, he explains that Moshe Rabbeinu's original takana was that one person should get an Aliyah. So to fulfill Moshe Rabbeinu's original takana, we give one Aliyah at least to a gadol. Dazarua, the Shvas Yaakov, also hold that a cotton can be included. Why did the Gemara speak about Shiva? Because during the week, they're not usually in shul. But the halacha is that they can be given an aliyah anytime. The Tosus Rid disagrees. And he says, the Gemara is being very specific when it says Laminyan Shiva. He says, only when there are seven people getting aliyahs can we give a cotton aliyah. But if we have three or four, they cannot be a cotton. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayim quotes the Gaonim. He says that on Shabbos, the first three people who get Aliyahs have to be Gedolim. And after three people got Aliyahs and they're all Gedolim, then and only then can we call up, can we give Aliyahs to a Ketanim. The Ran's opinion is that we only could give Aliyah to a cotton, we only could give three of the seven aliyahs to a cotton, not anymore. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that the halacha is that we should not give a cotton an aliyah, that the only aliyah we should give a cotton is mafter, which as we're going to learn, the halacha is the mafter reads over what was already previously read, so we're not reading anything new in the Sefer Torah on behalf of the Tanna. The question is, but Taisus, Masechta Rosh Hashanah discusses, when we get an aliyah, we make a bracha. And how could a cotton make a bracha if they're not mechuyev? How can a woman make a bracha even though not mechuyev? So this is one of the proofs that the halacha is that somebody, even though they're not obligated in a mitzvah, can make a bracha on the mitzvah. But Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says a katan has to learn Torah to know what to do when he's a gadol. And similarly, even if women are exempt from Talmud Torah, they're still obligated to learn to know how to act as a Jewish woman should act. And therefore, the halacha is that they can be, that they can make the, if, as the Gemara is saying, they can get an aliyah, they can make a bracha as well. There's an interesting question. On a day that the mafter is musaf, it's a yontif, Rosh Chodesh, can a katan be called up? We just said that a katan can be called up for mafter. Can it be called up for mafter when it's a karban musaf? The Shas of Tshuvas Moran Maratenberg says that there's really no requirement with the Raisa to read the Parshas Musafim, and therefore he says, and it's based on a Mordechai, that a katan can be called up to a mafter which is a musaf, but he agrees that the Arba Parshias, Parshas Zochar, Parshas Chodesh, Parshas Parah, Parshas Shkolim, a katan should not be called up. However, the Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says a katan should not be called up not for the Arba Parshias, nor for the Musaf. And then there are opinions that say a katan can be called up for Musaf and can be called up for Parshas Shkolim and Parshas Chodesh, certainly not for Parshas Zochar, which is a Deraisa, nor for Parshas Parah. Ibailu, Maftir. So as we just discussed, the last person who gets an aliyah is the Maftir. And the question is, Ma'ashiyala min Yeshiva. Is the Maftir a person that could be included in the seven kruim that we have to have in Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Rav Huna, Rav Yemri, Ba'aba, Charamah Oilad, that he can be included, V'charamah Eina Oilad, he is not included. So the question that the Rivash asks, what's the question? We've always read the Torah in Shul. So let's see what we've been doing all the years. What's the question? So the Rivash answers because that certainly they did not include the Maftir as one of the Zion people who are getting Aliyahs. The question of the Gemara is, why did they do it? Is it because the halach is that the maftir cannot be one of the Zion kruim? Or is that what they did, but not that he is not allowed to be part of the Zion kruim? Says the Gemara, man dar ma'ayla, the one that says that he is included as one of the Zion kruim, gokari, we see that we read for him from the Sefer Torah. So the fact that we read for him from the Sefer Torah is clearly an indication that he is one of the Zion kruim. O man dar ma'ayla, and Oyla Kudula, Dama Ula, Mnei Ma Mafta Benavi, Tsarch Shikab Kayotchila. Why is the person who gets the Mafter also do we read for him for the Sefer Torah first? It says the Gemara, Mnei Kfaira Torah. And as Rashi and the Miri elaborates, explains, this entire rule that we read Mafter is based at one point there was a decree made against us that we may not read from the Sefer Torah. So they took and they started reading the Maftir, which is from Navi, and they picked a parasha from the Navi that should be similar to what should have been the Kriyas HaTorah that week. Moreover, they always read, as we're going to learn, at least 21 psukim from Maftir, because Maftir should correspond, the amount of psukim should correspond to the minimum amount of people who get aliyahs. And the seven people getting aliyahs, 7 times 3 = 21. Even after the decree fell away, and we Baruch Hashem do have Kriyas HaTorah, the minig of reading Maftir remained. And the minig of Maftir remained, but because they wanted to show cover to the Torah, so that's why they were careful that the person who gets Maftir, we should read from him first from the Sefer Torah. The Kiv Mishum Kavod HaTorah. Since the only reason he's being called up to the Torah is because, as we just said, of Kavod HaTorah, Leminyan Salik, he's not included in the Zion Kruvim. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, according to this opinion that we just learned, that the Mafter is not included in the Zayin Kruim. It says in a Braisa, HaMafter Benavi, LaYikra, the person who gets nafter should not get an aliyah of less than 20 psukim. Connected shiva shukavatara, as we just explained, the 7 times 3. Now, if the mafter is asked the Gemara, that the mafter is not one of the Zayin Kruvim, so then we have every Shabbos 8 people getting aliyahs. And every aliyah, as we just said, is a minimum of 3 psukim, equaling 24. So shouldn't, and if we want that the mafta, that the navi, should correspond to the amount of minimum amount of psukim we have in Kriyas HaTorah, then that halacha ought to be, Esr v'arba havin, the minimum should be at least 24 psukim in the navi. Answers the Gemara, kivin mishum kavod HaTorah hu, the only reason we said that the mafter should get an aliyah is only, as we just explained, because of kavrat Torah. We don't have to make 3 psukim in the haftarah, in the mafter, connect the nami loybayi. We don't have to have corresponding psukim for him if the whole reason is just for kavrat Torah. Maskev lei Rava asks Rava, we just learned that we should never have less than 21 psukim in the mafter. It doesn't have 21 psukim, and was still used as the mafter, even though it has only 19 psukim. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hosom the Salakinyana. Since it's a completely self-contained parsha, so it's a self-contained parsha, we read that parsha, and it doesn't make sense to add something from a different subject. Ask the Gemara, does that mean that if it's not the end of a parasha, not that isn't the case? Many times I found myself in front of Rabbi Yochanan. They have a kari esra psukim, and after they read 10 psukim for the mafter, amalan of siku, stop. So we see that they only had 10 psukim. What are you telling me that we have to have 21 psukim? Says the Gemara, Malkum Sheish Togim and Shani. They lived in a time and a place where the mafter, like they did in the time of Chazal in the Sefer Torah as well, they had it interpreted. And since they had the mafter interpreted, 10 psukim equal 20 psukim. The Tani, as indeed Rav Tachlifa Bar Shmuel taught us, Loi Shanu, this was taught Elba Makam Shein Togeman. Therefore, we have 21 psukim. Ava Makam Shein Togeman. If we have a Togeman, Paisik, because it's 10 psukim that we read in Lashon Kodesh, but we also have to interpret those psukim, which takes time, and that's why 10 psukim in the Navi itself is enough. Taisus asks a question that we know, we just mentioned it, that every Yontif, every Shchodesh, we read the Korban Musaf corresponding to the day. So why on Shabbos, as we know, the Torah in Parshas Pinchas has the Parsha of B'yayim HaShabbos, which describes the Korban Musaf, which is brought on Shabbos. So why don't we read that every week for Shabbos? So Tosfos answers, because as we learned when we were speaking about the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh, that the parasha of B'yayim HaShabbos only has 2 psukim. And we never read a parasha that has less than 3 psukim. Another teretz that he gives is that the Navi that we read has to be connected to what we read for the mafter. And if every week the person who's going to get mafter is going to read B'yayim HaShabbos, then every week the Navi we're going to read is going to be corresponding to that, and every week it's going to be the same Navi. We want to have a variety of Navis to get that lesson. Another teretz he suggests is that the Karbonis that are brought on Rosh Chodesh and on Yontif are brought for a Kapara. And therefore, especially Bizman Azeh, where we don't have the actual Karbon to bring us the Kapara, we read about it to get affected with the kapara. The kabbonis that are brought on Shabbos are not for kabbonis, are not for kapara. And therefore, there's no reason. Another explanation that the Maram Rattenberg gives is that some we don't want to do something on a regular basis. Simple teretz. The yontif comes once a year, Rosh Chodesh 12 times a year. But Shabbos that comes on every week, we don't want to have the same reading every week. Another pshat that the Das HaKeinim suggests, the pasuk says regarding Yom HaTovim, Elu Ma'adei Hashem Asher Tikra Oisam. So the Torah is teaching us that when we speak about Navi, we speak about Yontif Asher Tikra Oisam. Every Yontif, we should speak about that Yontif. But when it comes to Shabbos, the Torah doesn't say such a pasuk, so we don't have to read Yom HaShabbos every week. So it's a very interesting. We find that on the Yom HaTovim, that we read a Megillah, Shavuos, or Shir HaShirim, or Kehelas, we read the Megillah before Kriyas HaTorah. And the question is, why do we read them before Kriyas HaTorah? And actually, the other question would be, if somebody forgot to read them before Kriyas HaTorah, would we be able to read them after Kriyas HaTorah? So I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed explains. The reason they read before, even though an argument should be made, could easily be made, that they should be read after Sefer Torah, reading from the Sefer Torah is Tadr, the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Megillus, is because when we read from the Sefer Torah, we read Maftar as we've been learning afterwards. And we're going to read Maftar, and then we're going to read the Megillah, so then we're going to end up reading it. Two people may make the mistake and assume that we have to read two Maftars, which of course is not the case. So that's why we read the Megillah before the Sefer Torah. The proof to this point is, on Purim, we read the Torah, Purim in the morning, and then we only read the Megillah. Because on Purim in the morning, there is no Maftar, and when there is no Maftar, there is no such concern. And therefore, the halacha is that if, for whatever reason, they did not read the Megillah before Kriyas HaTorah, they should not read it immediately after Kriyas HaTorah. Because as we just learned, there's a concern that people may have the mistaken notion that you could have two Haftiris, and we don't want anybody to make that error. So the way to avoid that error is by having a Hafsaka between the Maftar and the Megillah. Says the Mishnah, Ein Parson al Shema. So the way Rashi learns Parson al Shema is that if you had people that daven b'yichidus, and therefore they did not hear Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kedusha, and then they gather together in Shul, after the Tzibur finished davening, one person gets up and says Kaddish, and Baruch Hu, and the first bracha of Krishma. And that's why this is called Parson. Parson means a portion, that a portion was said. The Ratvaz disagrees. And the Ratvaz and the Meiri say that once people davened, they davened already. They can't make up what they missed. And therefore, we're talking about people who have not yet davened. So says the Mishnah, Ein Parson al Shema. We can't go through this Parson al Shema procedure, as we'll learn only with a minyan. The question that the Rishonim point out, do you have to have a full minyan, or could you have Rav minyan? Some say seven, some say six, and I even saw an opinion that said even if you just have five, that's fine. Moreover, Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi that even if you started with 10 people, and as we learned, when you have 10 people, you could be Pyrus al Shema. If part of the group walked out, this is relevant in a number of situations, you could continue davening if you started with a minion. But the Ran says, but now we have a machlokes. The Ran says you could only continue if you have at least six people remaining there. The Magen Avraham Gebarim disagrees. He says as long as you began with 10 people, so you had the right to begin that way, you could keep on going and finish. We don't have Chazar Sashatz. So ask the Yerushalmi, if we just learned that the halacha is that we can't have personal Shema without a minyan, why do we also have to teach this halacha? So the Yerushalmi answers that Chazar Sashatz, that we need 10 people, is because Chazar Sashatz, we to teach us the halacha that we just learned, that if we began with 10, we could complete the Chazar Sashatz even without 10. Vei noisens kapeim. The Kohanim can't duchen. When we duchen, it says, kai sevarchas b'nai Yisrael. So it means you have to have an Eda of 10 people. The Miri, the Rashba says it's a Dovah Kedusha, and it's a Dovah Shem Kedusha, you have to have 10 people. So here too the question is, why does the Mishnah have to mention this individually? Once we're learning, as we're going to learn, that you need a minion, so every Dovah Shem Kedusha has to have 10 people. So the Chiddush here is, that let's say, as we just discussed, Chazar Sashatz was begun, and you had a minion as you began Chazar Sashatz. So we said that the halacha is, we could complete the Chazar Sashatz. The Mishnah is teaching us that even though we could complete the Chazar Sashatz, we may not start duchening. Even though the duchening is part of the Chazar Sashatz, it's separate. And if we don't have a minion in the shul at the time of duchening, even though we'd say Chazar Sashatz because we began with a minion, we can't duchen. We don't have Kriya Satira with Ve'em Aftira Menavi. And it's Machloikas Rishonim. When we say Ein Kayim B'Toyra, unless you have a minion, does that mean you can't even take out a Sefer Torah to read from it unless we have a minion? Or does it mean that the brachas that are recited when somebody gets an aliyah may not be recited unless you have a minion? But to read from the Sefer Torah, you could read even without a navi, without a minion. When they used to carry a nifta to be buried, they used to stop 7 times until they got to the grave. They had a whole procedure what was said. The Bi'a Halacha says that for Kriyas HaTorah, you have to have at least 6 people who have not heard Kriyas HaTorah. The Chai Adam disagrees. He says that you have to have a minion of people who did not hear Kriyas HaTorah. Then I'm in Birkas Aveilim. They used to say a special bracha to the Aveilim, v'chtanchume Aveilim, or Birkas Chasanim, emezam b'shem. When we say Birkas Hamazon, we have to have, all these cases can't have less than 10 people. The Miri says when we speak about Birkas Sanim, what we're speaking about here is the Sheva brachas that we have all week. Because when they are evaluating, assessing the value of a piece of property that belongs to Hegdish, you have to have at least 10 people. And not only do you have to have 10 people, but as we learn in the Gemara, you have to have Tish Sheva Kayin. 9 of them, you have to have 9 people, and 1 has to be a Kayin. And similarly, when we are evaluating the value of a person, as we'll see in the Gemara why we would be do so, we have to have at least 10 people. So Tysus asks, well, how can we have 10 people? 10 people is an even number, and we know that we always look for an odd number. So the Rashba answers, since the Torah goes out of its way to say that, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that you need 10 people, therefore, the halacha always is, as much as you need to have 10 people, you have, as much as you always have to have an odd number. Here, the Torah told us 10 people, so it's 10 people. Our Mishnah just spoke about it, the importance of minyan, and the importance of always having a minyan. The Mishnah Brura and Simon Tzadik, Sif Katan Chav Tes, Paskins. What happens if somebody is going to lose money by missing minyan? Should he still daven the minyan even though it causes a financial loss or not? So the Mishnah Brura says that if it's going to cause a financial loss, he could forego minyan. But if it's just going to be that he's not going to make profit that he could have made, he's not allowed to miss minyan. So I saw that the Cheshuk Yechemer discusses a shaila where somebody works at a place of work that they have a bonus. That if you come to work on time, you'll get a bonus. And if you don't come on time, you'll get paid your salary, but you won't get the bonus. And the question that he discusses is that considered a loss? That the halacha is that we just quoted the Mishnah Berurah, that in order to avoid a loss, you could not daven b'minyan? Was that considered that you're not going to make profit, that you're not allowed to miss a minyan? So he quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, who said as follows, if the person, when he takes the job, assumes that this is going to be part of his income, that he's going to get every day that as his income, so then the halacha is that it's considered that it's income and he's allowed to miss a minyan. But if it's not considered that it's part of his income, then, you know, it's just a nice bonus. A bonus is considered like not getting a profit and he may not miss a minyan for that purpose. So we just learned about the importance of minyan, that we always have 10 people. Ask the Gemara, where do we learn this from? The number 10. Amar Rav Chibar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Kral, V'nekdashti B'saych V'nei Yisrael, Kol Dovah Shebekedusha, Lo Yehei Pox Masorah. Whenever we have a Dovah Shebekedusha, we have to have at least 10 people. My Mashma, ask them, how do we learn this from the Pasuk? The Tanya Rav Chia, Ask your Toich Toich, Ksif Hachav V'nekdashti B'saych V'nei Yisrael, when we're saying a Dovah Shebekedusha, we should have 10 people. V'ksif Hasam, by Kairich V'adosoy, he brought them a Toich Eda. Vashi Eda Eda, Tiksiv Hosom, Ad Mosel Eda Roa Zois, by the Pashas Miraglim, Malaharan Asoro, because we have to exclude Yeshua and Kalev, who were not part of that plan, Afkan Asoro. And I saw that the Klaus Mirebbe makes a very powerful point. He says, let's think about it. Dovish Abagdusha, there's nothing more important, the examples that we learned about Dovish Abagdusha. And who are we learning that a Dovah Shebekedusha has to have 10 people from Kairach and the Meraglim? Are they the place and the people from whom we should learn such an important halacha? Says the Klaus Magrebbe, there's a very important lesson. The lesson is that when you have a group of 10 Jews, no matter who those 10 Jews are, even if they are 10 Jews who are Kairach people, they're 10 Jews of Meraglim, 10 Jews bring the Shekhinah. Any group of Jews, of 10 Jews, have the ability to bring the Meraglim. Never underestimate the power and the value of a Jew. So we learned in the Mishnah. Why? Says the Mishnah. That's part of the statement. If you have less than 10 people, it's not appropriate. When you have less than 10 people. My brichas aveilim, brichas ruchava. They said in the town square a bracha to the aveilim. Dom Rav Yitzchak, Dom Rav Yochanan, brichas aveilim, besara. Vein aveilim and aminyan. The aveilim cannot be considered part of that minyan, as the Rishonim explained, because the bracha we say to them is menachem aveilim. So the person who are being menachem is not giving consolation, he's receiving consolation. Brichas sanim, but by sheva brachas, we need to have 10 people. The chsanim, min aminyan, the chsanim to be part of the minyan. Ve'mezamna al-mozim b'sheim pachs masara. We can't say nevarach lakenu by brichas amozim unless we have a minyan. Says the marakim in the b'ayil meima, avarach alakenu, batsam asara, as we're learning, when you have less than 10 men, lav arach aritz, inappropriate to say it. Hakakos, tisha, you have to have 10 people, 9 Yisraelim, the koyin. V'adam kiyotz men. Ask the Gemara, how do we know this halacha? Anonymously. Answers the Gemara, Amishmul, Asaras Kohanim Ksuvim B'Parsha. The Torah says the word Koyin, when it speaks about redeeming property, which is owned by Hegdish, the Torah speaks about Kohanim 10 times. Chad L'Gufei wants to teach us that indeed you have to have a Koyin there. And the others times it says Koyin is Avimit Achamiyot. Because why did the Torah have to keep on repeating it? Once the Torah told us we need a Kayin, why does the Torah have to keep on saying it? There's a rule, when the Torah has a double miyut, el rabbis, because you don't need to say another miyut. And that's how we come to the conclusion, Teshi Yisraelim, that you have 9 Yisraelim part of this process, v'chad Kayin. Veima chamish kohen v'chamish yisraelim. Ask the Gemara, maybe every first I'll have a miyut, and the next kohen will be a ribui, and the next kohen will be a miyut, and we'll end up with 5 and 5. And the Gemara says, indeed, kasha. We learned further in the Mishnah, vadim kiyotz behen. When we're assessing the value of a person, similarly, we have to have this group of 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kohen. But ask the Gemara, Adam Mikadosh, is it possible to make a person into Hegdish? An animal could be Hegdish because we bring the animal as a carbon. But a person? Answers the Gemara, Amar Avuah, Ba'aymer Doma Yalai. If somebody says, I'm going to give my value, or to give the value of a human, a different person, to Hegdish. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Ha'aymer Doma Yalai, if somebody makes such a declaration, Shamnai Soika Evid. We have to, how do we evaluate? How do we assess his value? We assess what is he worth as an Eved Kanani. And we know that Eved Iskash L'Kakos, and Eved Kanani is compared to real estate. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'snachaltem oisem v'neichem achreichem l'reshes achuzo. So if by property the formula is 10 people, 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kayin, so too will be the formula when we're doing this evaluation, assessment of a person to know what is his value as an Eved.